and welcome to The Social Disease. I'm Bridget.
I'm Jasper.
And today we are continuing with our season two coverage of Degrassi Junior High.
Indeed.
And, it's definitely better than season one. That's my take. I stand by it. And we're going to talk about maybe like a little bit more dramatic stuff than our last episode. Because we actually get to talk about some baby stuff, some 14-year-old baby stuff.
Just teen pregnancy things.
Just, babies having babies, that's all.
And we actually, at the end of this season, we get the birth of the one, the only, Emma Nelson.
Yay! And then she's just gonna be a little baby hanging out before becoming a star later on.
A star is one word for it.
The infamous? One of those.
She certainly likes stripping in front of people.
As one does in high school,
It
naturally.
happens. It happens.
It happens.
But in addition to the birth of Emma, we're also going to be talking about some twin drama with Erica and Heather, as well as the queen bee who has fallen from grace, Miss Stephanie K.
Sure are.
And that's the tea.
All right. And today we're going to start with our girl, Spike.
Yes, Spike, her baby daddy Shane, as well as Caitlin inadvertently ruining Spike's life more than it
Yeah.
already is.
Let's do it.
So, in the season premiere, we meet Spike. She is in a teen moms group, and she is given an assignment to take care of an egg for a week to get practice for taking care of an actual baby. So she ends up having to take this egg to school. She draws a little face on it. Or no, I think it's Alexa who draws the face on it. The egg with the face ends up getting the iconic name Eggbert. So Spike is very protective of Eggbert. She's trying to do a good job with this little mock assignment baby thing. And then Shane comes along saying that he wants to help out with the baby. So Spike is like, "You want to prove that you want to help? Take care of Egbert for a couple days and prove to me that you're taking things seriously." So Shane says, "Yeah, what how much work could taking care of an egg be?" But he soon finds out that it's kind of difficult because everybody is making fun of him for having Egbert with him at all times. He's pretty embarrassed about it. And then Lucy is having one of her iconic parties at her house. And he's upset that he has to stay home and take care of Egbert when all of his friends are having fun at Lucy's place. But of course, when he's all home alone on a Friday night, he's like, "Fuck this, I'm going to the party." So he pulls up to the function, bringing Egbert with him. And all the boys start making fun of him again, having Egbert, and they start throwing Egbert around the room. So Spike gets mad at Shane because he also starts to participate in throwing Egbert around. So Spike is mad that he's not taking things seriously. She ends up murdering Egbert in cold blood by throwing him on the ground and kind of storming off. And this makes Shane realize that he really needs to start taking this whole baby daddy thing seriously. And he ends the episode with finally telling his parents that Spike is pregnant. Soon after that, we find out that Shane and his parents are trying to invite Spike and her mom to dinner to discuss kind of the logistics of Spike being pregnant and how to handle things. But even though Shane has asked several times, Spike keeps telling Shane that her mom says no. But actually, what's happening is that Spike isn't telling her mom at all because she doesn't want to go herself. She is kind of afraid of being judged by Shane's family. While this is happening, Shane's dad is telling Shane that, like, "Yeah, you knocked a girl up, so we're going to send you to private school to straighten you out." So what ends up happening is that Shane's parents actually call Spike's mom to invite her, and that's when Spike's mom finds out about Spike lying and stuff and such, and so they end up going to the dinner. But at the dinner, Shane's dad suggests that they send Spike away to like some troubled teens place or whatever. And Spike's mom is like, what the fuck are you talking about? She needs to be with her family where she knows people and have people who can support her. And then Shane starts fighting back against his dad, sending him to private school. So the dinner doesn't really go very well. Spike's mom is proud of Spike for kind of standing up for herself and such. And the episode ends with Spike and Shane discussing maybe we will keep the baby instead of putting it up for adoption. And that's kind of it for like the baby logistics, I guess, in the season. The next thing that happens is that Spike is in the bathroom talking about how there's going to be a PTA meeting about whether Spike should be allowed to stay at Degrassi since she's apparently a bad influence for being a pregnant teen. Caitlin ends up overhearing this conversation with Spike, and Caitlin is currently kind of having a writer's block about what to write for the school newspaper. So overhearing this, Caitlin gets inspired to write an article about Spike getting kicked out of school, especially when Caitlin, when she tells her mom about Spike potentially leaving, her mom is kind of supportive of Spike leaving, saying that she's a bad influence. So Caitlin gets all riled up and puts on her social justice hat and writes the article. But when she hands it in, Mr. Radich, the advisor for the newspaper, stops it from being published, saying that it's too controversial. So Caitlin takes it upon herself to print copies of the article herself and passes them all around school. So she ends up getting in trouble for this, but everybody in her class is like super proud of her, saying like, you did such a good job standing up to the man and such. But when Spike finds out that Caitlin wrote this article about her, she is not as thrilled, saying that Caitlin kind of didn't ask for her permission to write about her and then to then publish the article, even though Caitlin had good intentions with it. So Caitlin is kind of conflicted that like, oh, I thought I did a good thing by standing up for Spike by writing this article, but Spike is mad at me for doing this. So she is kind of unsure about her actions in this case. But despite the fact that Spike is pissed at her, Caitlin then gets asked to write more articles for the paper because she did such a good job throwing Spike under the bus, while Spike still ends up having to deal with this PTA meeting where it does ultimately end up being the case that Spike gets kicked out of Degrassi. So Spike ends up having to get homeschooled for the rest of the school year, but she is able to kind of save her year, I guess, because like Erica and Heather are giving her her assignments, she's taking her exams and such. So when it's final exams time, she ends up showing up to take her exams. She does have to take them separately from everybody else, but she ends up still being at the top of her class, getting straight A's. And the season ends with Spike going to the graduation dance to celebrate with her friends. And just as Jenna Middleton will, approximately 20 years later, she ends up going into labor at the school dance. And that is how the season ends. With Spike.
What a way to end. Group.
Yes, what a way to end.
So good. Okay. So let's start with our good pal Egbert.
Wow, what an icon.
It's interesting because I'm wondering if this was the start of it. I feel like this is kind of either like a sitcom trope or like some sort of joke that TV shows kind of do where it's like, you have to take care of this egg. And everyone's like, what? I have to take care of an egg? And then, you know, you have to treat it as your child, whatever, whatever.
Well, I don't know if we ever did it in high school, but I know that's like a thing where it's like an assignment to take care of a fake baby, right?
Yeah, I know. The school I work at does it too. So they do where you take like a baby home for the weekend and have to take care of it, and it like goes off and cries and stuff. But I feel like the TV shows definitely do an egg more.
Really? What else does an egg besides this?
I don't know. I have to look it up. I didn't look it up before this, but I know I've definitely seen this kind of like sketch before.
I feel like I see lots of shows do it with an actual baby doll.
Didn't Zoe 101 do it?
With an egg?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I'll look it up.
But yeah, it is definitely a trope for sure, whether it's a baby doll or an egg.
Yes, it's definitely a thing if you Google it. That's for sure.
With
Okay.
Zoey 101?
No, there's a lot of different things that come up if you take caring egg baby, a lot of YouTube things related to that apparently, and I don't know if I want to get into it.
Well, in Spike's case, at least, she takes taking care of Egbert very seriously, which I think is very mature of her.
Oh
Like,
my gosh, yeah, for sure.
I feel like at first she was a little hesitant, but once Alexa, I think it was, who gave Egbert the name, she's like, I'm going to be super protective of this cute little egg.
I also think it's a pretty realistic, I mean, realistic in a sense, but it makes you think about things that you normally wouldn't think about when it came to a baby. So, you know, like the needing daycare. If you don't want to bring it to school. And if you want to go out at night, you need a babysitter. And you have to like always be that you can't just like put it down somewhere. Right? So like when they were in the basement and everyone starts throwing him around, I got so stressed.
Right.
I was like, not Egbert, please.
Yeah, because the thing about this episode is that it's really about Shane's development in that he finally realizes he needs to take the fact that he got Spike pregnant seriously.
Okay, there's that, but then is this also the same episode where Shane is like, it's not that easy for boys either?
Probably.
Yeah, that pissed me off. Because I feel like the entire episode, the whole thing is like, oh, it's so easy for you, Shane. Like, you're a boy, you don't have to do anything. And then, like, he gets asked to do one task and he can't even do it. And then he's like, it's hard.
Yeah. It's like, excuse me, sir, are you carrying a child right now?
I'm like, is the PTA going after you in this moment? No, they're not actually, which is a whole other thing that I have a problem with.
Yeah. But I guess I do like Shane's development in this episode as well as the next one, because it does show him standing up for himself and Spike more, whereas last season he was kind of being wishy-washy. He was like, oh, Spike, you should have an abortion, things like that. So it is nice to see him taking some responsibility now.
Right.
But yeah, the fact that it took Spike murdering Egbert for that to happen.
Yeah, I guess it's the little things that make you realize that you have to actually step it up, even if you're 14. Which I guess kind of ties into, so they're supposed to, let's say this episode was to prove that it's also hard for the boys. Fine, whatever. I do like that Shane is trying to make an effort with Spike to get their families together, even though Spike doesn't really want to do that, which I understand. I understand both sides. Like, Shane thinks that this is the best way to do it because obviously adults have to be involved in this. They can't do this on their own. That's not happening. But I also understand that Spike doesn't want to be judged by his judgmental old ass parents.
Right?
And when I say old, I mean it. For those who haven't seen this, Google what his parents look like. They're like pushing 60s, I feel like, at when they have this young 14-year-old.
Yeah, like Shane apparently he has at least one older brother, because his dad was talking about like, oh, before they knew about Spike's pregnancy, they were like, oh, you're really growing up to be as good as your older brother. And then when they do know about the pregnancy, they're like, oh, we're going to send you to private school where your older brother really succeeded. But we never see his older brother. So that means his older brother is at least, 4 or 5 years older. He's out of the home. So that really suggests that Shane was probably an accident, for one thing. Also, his dad is like a minister or something, right?
Yeah, he was wearing the priest like neck outfit, even though priests can't get married. So I think you're right. He's either like a pastor or a minister, some sort of religious guy, though.
Yeah. So kind of that coupled with the fact that they're older, an older generation always has a stereotype that they're more old-fashioned and such. So Yeah,
Which
I
is
totally.
shown in this when they say, hey, you should send Spike away to a woman's home or whatever. I don't even know where you send pregnant teenage girls to back in the 80s, but apparently there's a place for it.
Well, they just wanted Spike out of sight so they didn't need to worry about it. It's like
No,
not
I
my
know.
problem anymore.
I just can't believe places like that existed. That's what's even crazier.
Well, sometimes parents are not supposed to be parents.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, yeah, I do feel for Spike in that she did not want to be involved with Shane's parents. I don't know if she ever met them before. It seemed like probably not, since, like we talked about last time with Spike, like Spike and Shane were never really a couple. But
They probably didn't meet, considering. Yeah, I don't, they were never actually dating.
yeah, so don't blame Spike for that. And then I guess I do you blame Shane for not telling his parents? Because it's not like they were helpful in any way.
No, I kind of get where he waited because if, let's say, Spike decided to get an abortion, then he never would have had to tell his parents and it would have been okay. It also sounds like these are people who would not have accepted an abortion. Right? Like they didn't hint at an abortion at all. And also they're religious. So my assumption is that if he had been like, hey, I knocked a girl up, but don't worry, she's getting an abortion, I think they would have probably lost their shit more.
Yeah, because they were also assuming that they would put the baby up for adoption too, right? Whereas Spike still wasn't sure.
Yeah, and I think that even Shane says that they might not. I think he's the one that says they might not do that.
Right.
Which is
So,
interesting.
yeah, because from what I remember is that Shane isn't really much of a father when
Like after once Emma's born.
Yeah, like once Emma is born, I feel like Shane doesn't do much, and then he becomes, you know, mentally incapacitated, so he can't after that point.
Yeah, I don't remember the time difference or the time like between. So Emma's born obviously at the end of season two. When does Shane have his accident?
I think it's sometime in season three. Yeah, so I don't know exactly. There might be one or two episodes in season three about Shane doing things with Spike, but I feel like we don't see much. At least I don't remember anything notable about Shane being a father when Emma is a baby.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see season three. To see how much Emma is actually featured in this, because I honestly don't really remember.
Yeah, I feel like it's not much.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to be like, she's at home with my mom.
Right. Which is interesting because I feel like compared to other Degrassi pregnancies, and talking just about the pregnancy in this case, since that's where we're at, we don't really see much about the pregnancy itself. The only thing we really see from Spike is that, like, yeah, I'm getting fat, you know?
Yeah, I think what they're trying to show us more is how being pregnant impacts your educational experience and not your like life experience, which is okay. I think I'm okay with that. I think it's kind of easier for us to not hate her as much, where it's like when Jenna and Liberty pushed off the doctor's appointments for months and months and months. We're like, oh my God, that's so dangerous. Like, what are you doing? Whereas for her, we're more seeing the school side of it. And I think that's probably the point that Degrassi wanted to get across too. Not like the fear of money at the age of 14 and or the fear of like your health, but you can't go to school and
Yeah.
have a normal school life. Like, that's not realistic. And that makes sense for me to share that with middle schoolers more.
Yeah, because the typical thing for like Liberty and Jenna and even Claire was that,
Oh, for Claire doesn't even, I don't even want to count Claire. That's so fake.
well, but even with Claire,
Okay.
we do see like the doctor's appointments and like they have their hormonal rage episode. each of them has that at one point, right? Whereas with Spike, it just kind of feels like she's just going through life normally. She's just happens to be pregnant.
Yeah, I think that I'm okay with that. I don't know. Are you not, do you wish there was, you always wish there was more.
Well, so I guess what is super interesting to me is that Spike isn't ostracized at school. Like, everybody's just like, yeah, Spike's pregnant. It's no big deal. We still love her. Which I love that her friends are so accepting of her. But I was like, since when is that pregnant girl ever, like, not ostracized by her peers?
I don't think Jenna or Liberty really were. I think they both kind of kept living their lives. Like, I mean, obviously they were pregnant and people would be like, you're pregnant, but it kind of seemed like they kept going on as if their high school career was like totally normal.
Well, I guess I'm thinking in the sense of like getting bullied, which I guess maybe Kathleen was bullying her just a little bit.
Kathleen's bullying everyone, though.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it just felt like.
I mean, would you not be friends with someone because they're pregnant?
Of course not.
So I think that's kind of
Right.
the realistic part. It's like all of her friends aren't going to ditch her. If she didn't have any friends, like, or, okay, what's the new girl's name with the bangs? I forgot.
Liz?
Liz. If Liz had moved here and gotten pregnant, she would be ostracized because she has no friends. But I think because Spike already had friends, they weren't about to ditch her. Because they got her back against, at least against Shane. They're like, Shane, you fucking suck.
Yeah.
Like, Shane, you don't do anything. You lose your dad. And he's like, I'm 14, please.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, but I think if anyone should be, I guess it's okay that Shane's ostracized a little bit for not really like taking that step up and helping her out.
Yeah,
I
for
think he gets at least shut out by the girls. The guys don't really care. I think
sure.
they kind of think it's a little weird, but that's it.
Yeah, what's funny to me is that when Spike had Egbert, they were like, oh, so cute. Spike, you have like a little baby egg. But when Shane had Egbert, they're like, oh, Shane, you got an egg. You're such a loser.
I know. They're just like bullying him and he's not even pregnant.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny and I probably true to how teenage boys at least would act towards the girl versus the guy.
Yeah, I think it's almost easier to act that way towards the guy because he can unfortunately choose how little or how much he's going to be involved in this process.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but whatever. Do you want to talk about the whole PTA stuff and kind of like Caitlin a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so there's no way that this would ever happen in the United States. I can't believe how fast a parent would sue. Like, I would snap my fingers and a parent would sue the PTA before you could be like, this child cannot go to school because they're pregnant. I understand that they want to make it like dramatic, but I think this would never happen. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe in Canada things are different.
Or maybe in the 80s things were different.
I just can't imagine you can be discriminated against because you're pregnant and 14.
Yeah. Like the fact that she was so singled out was what was interesting, because I could maybe see there being like a hidden school policy or something
Huh, right.
about like, oh, if there is a pregnant whatever, then like you get expelled, For
Yeah,
like,
I mean, if it was a Catholic school, absolutely
right.
done. You're out of there.
But for like a public school like Degrassi, it's like they're literally singling this one 14-year-old out and saying you're not allowed to be at this school because you're a bad influence on everybody else. But like Spike is a straight A student and she's pregnant. So like I feel like she's an icon of
Right? If anyone's gonna have a baby, it's gotta be her.
Right.
Yeah, so I think that is extremely inappropriate to ban someone from school. And it's also like, if anything, didn't someone say that? They're like, if anything, they're making, she's making us not want to have sex because we don't want to be pregnant. I feel like someone said that.
I think it was Melanie.
Yeah, like, she's, yeah, that's just, that's where it's kind of funny. It is like, more realistic for them to have her come in and take the tests and also be able to participate in the dance. I will say that sounds about right for a school to be like, you can't come here, but you're still required to do these tests. And also, I guess you can go to the dance. But to be so pregnant that you go into labor at the dance, girl, what are you doing there? Like, stay
Well,
home.
didn't she say she was like still 6 weeks out?
Oh, that makes more sense. I don't remember, but yeah, I guess if you're only like, if you're not even at 9 months, you could probably be like, I'm good
Yeah,
to go to the dance.
I think she said her due date was like 6 weeks away when she was taking her exams.
Okay. That was a good catch there. I did not really
So
hear that.
Emma's just an early baby because of course she is.
Because of course she is. And if this is, what month is this? Is this December or are we in like May or June?
It's the end of the school year, so it's got to be June.
Classic Emma being a Gemini.
Of course.
Adds up.
So how do you feel about, Caitlin's involvement in this whole PTA thing?
It's funny because this is exactly something Caitlyn would do. We saw her do it in season one with oh my gosh, what's his name? Not Wheels. I always get Wheels. Who?
Rick?
Yeah, Rick. I always get Wheels and Rick confused. So I don't know why they don't look anything alike. But when she did that with Rick, and even though she might have had feelings for Rick, he basically was like, you're just doing this because you feel bad for me. And this is a similar situation for Caitlyn where she thinks she's doing the right thing, but she doesn't care about who it's impacting in the process of doing the right thing.
Yeah, like even during the episode, when I was watching it, I was like, oh yeah, she's doing a good thing standing up for Spike. But then she didn't talk to Spike about it at all. Like I was just like, oh, wouldn't you want a quote from Spike for your article? Like just, for journalism reasons? That
Yeah, but
was my first question.
that just shows that she wasn't doing it for the right reasons. She was doing it for her own reasons, basically. Because you would think she would, that just really is what it comes down to. You'd think she'd want to interview Spike to be like, hey, Spike, do you want to stay here? Not instead of her just being like, of course she wants to stay here. Why wouldn't she want to stay here? Like, and just assuming it, you know?
Yeah, she basically took the fact that she was eavesdropping on Spike's conversation in the bathroom as like Spike's final opinion on the matter.
Absolutely. And what's even crazier is that everybody thinks, or she thinks, that she's like a martyr for this. She's like, yeah, I got detention. And if I did this again, I would be suspended. And Joey's like, what? That's crazy. Where in reality, like, Spike is literally getting kicked out of school.
Yeah.
And you didn't do anything. So.
Yeah, like Caitlin was trying to do like a call for action, like talk to your parents, tell them to go to the PTA meeting and make Spike stay. But she was mostly just making Spike more of a spectacle than she already was.
Yeah, and I even was trying to think of it in the way that Caitlyn was so insecure and embarrassed about her and her seizures that if someone had gone behind her back and wrote an article about epilepsy and was like, oh, and I was at that sleepover and I saw Caitlyn have a seizure, and I, like, let's say it was, whose house was it at?
Susie.
Susie's, yeah. So let's say, like, Susie wrote an article about that without even asking Caitlyn or anything. I'm sure Caitlyn would have been like, what the hell? But she's like, well, I'm raising awareness for epilepsy, so it's fine. Like, that's basically what she did. She's just like, I'm doing this for myself, and we'll see.
Yeah, because the thing is, I feel like if Caitlin asks Spike, hey, I have an idea. We could write an article about you to get support for you staying at Degrassi. I feel like Spike would have been on board with it.
Yeah, and you know what? If she wasn't, then at least that would have been Caitlyn's time to like stand down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was. I don't think her intentions were to hurt Spike, but I also don't think her intentions were good either. Like,
Well,
I think Caitlyn was just like taking advantage of an opportunity and going with it.
Well, I feel like she did have good intentions. She's like, oh, if I write this article, then that could help Spike stay at Degrassi.
But like, how? Come on, let's be real.
Well, I mean, she is 12. I could definitely see her having, those idealistic notions of like, I could change the world.
Yeah, she just doesn't care who she's like impacting in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know. I'm trying. I'll give her more slack. Like, I mean, I love Caitlin. I think she's a great character. I think she's very, very intelligent. I mean, they keep her practically the same when we see her in the Next Generation. I feel like her character is pretty similar with wanting to be a writer and everything, but. Yeah, here this was a pretty big slip up.
And Spike still ends up getting kicked out of school, so she didn't even accomplish anything.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, was this really going to be able to do anything? Probably not. But I guess it's like when you start a petition in like fifth grade and you're like, stop this place from closing. And you're like, what? You're like 7. How is that going to help?
Well, she did exactly that last season with the factory, right?
Oh yeah, duh. I should have said sixth grade instead of fifth grade,
Yeah.
or seventh grade, however old she is. But yeah, basically where she's trying. But it just was very much a we just saw this with Rick, and now we see this with Spike, and it is just her trying to help people who she thinks needs help, but not. But it's you can't overlook the fact that she's kind of implying, not implying she's better than them. But I do side with Rick when he was like, you think you're better than me and that you're just trying to like help me.
Exactly.
I do like that Spike calls Caitlin out for it though.
Yes, like Spike or Caitlin goes up to Spike, like expecting a thank you or whatever. Spike is like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I wish we could rewrite that scene with that exact line.
Yeah, that's where the first F-bomb on Degrassi deserved to be.
Absolutely. No, I think Caitlin needed to be put in her place, and I appreciate that Rick did it, and I appreciate that Spike did it. And I think that she will have to keep being put in her place until she learns to like actually think about things for a little bit longer.
Yeah, but what sucks about this case in particular is that Caitlin gets rewarded for this at the end of the day.
I mean, does she though? I mean, everybody says that she did a good job, but she does get detention. Spike doesn't stay. So, like, her article wasn't a success.
Well, wasn't it Nancy, who's the head of the newspaper, is like, Caitlin, you did such a good job. I'm gonna give you more articles now.
You're right. I totally forgot she said that.
Yes,
Okay.
even though she like did the wrong thing, like she did get in trouble with it with the school, but in terms of being a journalist or writer or whatever, she is like she has more clout at Degrassi now because of this.
I do like this plot though. I think this is one of my favorite episodes, honestly, in this season.
What's interesting though is I think this is the only time that Caitlin and Spike ever interact in Degrassi Classic. But then the Next Generation kind of acts like Spike and Caitlin are besties.
There were definitely some, not like deeper conversations, obviously. But in a few episodes, I've noticed, and I think I said it in season one, there are some times where Spike and Caitlin are talking, and then whoever's gonna be like the main character, the main conversation person, the camera will follow them. But sometimes they'll split off, and like one will go in the bathroom, and one will keep walking, or like they'll be in the same class. So, but we had already talked about how they're all kind of around each other, which is nice. But yeah, they're definitely not best friends. I would not consider that, especially after this.
Right.
If anything, I'd be like, they don't like Spike does not like Caitlyn.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny how this happens, but then in the Next Generation, it's like Caitlin and Spike are the best of friends from high school, you know?
Right.
Do you have anything else for Spike?
I think Spike is doing the best with the hand she has been dealt. I will say that. Between Shane being so wishy-washy about being involved and Caitlin getting herself involved in like this whole school thing and then being made to not go to school because she's pregnant, like she's getting hit after hit with like shitty things. and she's just still so cute and likable.
Yeah, like when, I think it's when her mom is dropping her off for her exam. She's like, what's her real name? Christine.
Real name?
Christine.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, Christine, I am so proud of you. You really took what is an awful situation left and right and really made the best of it. And I was like, yes, you were so right, Mama Spike.
Mama Spike. Cute.
Honestly, Spike's mom is so iconic. I'm so sad she doesn't show up in the Next Generation.
She's such a good mom to her. Like, there is no, I put zero blame on Spike's actions on her mother, like, at all. And I think that is awesome how her mom handles this.
Like, when her mom is like, yeah, we're gonna pay our own way at this fancy dinner. I was like, yes, do not let these rich ass old people control you in any way.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Okay, do you want to move on to the twins?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So Erica and Heather have one plot this season, and it is the fact that Erica is annoyed that people keep mistaking her for her twin sister Heather. So because of this, she's like, I need to kind of form a new image for myself so that people recognize me as Erica instead of Heather. And to do this at the school dance, she ends up meeting a boy from another school. It's like a school mixer or something like that. And she ends up making out with him in the stairway. And like kind of in their flirty banter before making out, Erica is talking about how her twin is boring as fuck and not adventurous. But she is, and she is completely DTF. So Heather ends up kind of not walking in on them. She doesn't interrupt them, but she does see them making out in the stairwell, and she's pretty grossed out. And at the end of the night, when they're at home getting ready for bed, Heather starts slut-shaming Erica for being easy, starting a fight between them. And this kind of continues the next day when Erica starts feeling sick, and she starts to think that it might be mono from making out with this guy. The same day, actually, the guy said that he would come pick Erica up for a date. So he shows up to the twins' house. But since Erica is sick, Heather, how does it go? It's like, Heather answers the door with this guy. The guy is like, oh, you're the boring twin. That's what Erica said. So Heather gets pissed and is like, I'll show you boring. And she ends up going out with this guy too. So the guy kind of pulls over and kisses Heather. Heather is like into it for maybe half a second, but then she realizes that like, oh, this is like my sister's kind of boyfriend. So she stops him. And so Heather ends up going home and they make up when Heather explains that he also tried to kiss her. So he's not, you know, a reliable guy to have as a boyfriend. So the twins make up. They're like, I love you, blah, 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 blah. And at the end of the episode, we find out that Erica does not actually have mono. She has tonsillitis. So she did not get a kissing disease from this man.
That's hilarious. I love that part of it. Because it's like, even if she did get mono, like, who cares?
It's like she didn't get mono.
I was going to say, everybody gets mono. Almost.
Did you ever have mono?
Yeah, I got mono. It happens, like I said. I feel like it's a rite of passage at some point.
I've never had it.
Rite of passage, Jasper. It's never too late for mono.
Well, send me boys to make out with, and we'll see what happens.
There you go. I think this episode was ridiculous.
Why?
Why? Because it was so weird. First of all, Erica wanting to have a boyfriend was like Heather's biggest issue for some reason. It just seemed like, I don't understand why Heather was being so prude and annoying about Erica. Like, let Erica live her freaking life.
Yeah, that's kind of like the main theme of all of the twins' plots, is that Erica is, you know, more free with herself. She's happy to make out with boys and such. But Heather is the one who keeps pulling Erica back and being prude about everything.
Yeah, I feel like Heather and Kathleen should be BFFs at this point because they're both pissing me off. But I don't think there's anything wrong with Erica meeting out with a boy that, or making out with a boy that she met at the dance. Go her, sure, do whatever. Should she have been talking about how Heather is boring? Not exactly, but also Heather has not been the nicest to her. So I feel like she's kind of earned the right to be like, this girl is dragging me down a little bit.
Well, but Erica wasn't calling Heather boring because Heather was being mean to her. She was calling Heather boring because she didn't want to be compared to Heather anymore.
Yes, but I'm sure it didn't help that Heather is not also the kindest. It probably pushes her a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. But like Heather, or now I'm mixing them up. Erica was saying those things about Heather because she's like, oh, I don't want to be like Heather.
Yeah. Which is totally fair. And I feel like it's also probably hard for her to want to bring this up with someone that she knows because it sounds like they're all kind of in the same friend group.
Yeah.
So it's not like she could be like, hey, Stephanie, I'm like pretty annoyed that Heather doesn't want to do fun things. When, like, if anyone's doing fun things, Stephanie is the one also doing fun things. So Erica would probably want to do whatever Stephanie's doing, even though she kind of laid back this season, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I could definitely see like Erica seeing Stephanie, having all these dates with Wheels and getting dates with movie stars and being like, I want that for myself. Why does Stephanie have to have it? Whereas Heather is like, oh, I need to follow things by the book because that's what my parents taught and such. It's kind of two different archetypes.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I'm just a Heather hater in this scenario. I don't always hate her. I really don't. I think this episode just like kind of pissed me off a little bit because then she shits on Erica, right? She's like, Erica sucks. She's easy, whatever, whatever. Erica gets sick. And then Heather goes out with the guy. Come on. You can't even be like, oh, it's just for fun. Please, what are you thinking? That is so wrong in so many ways.
It was kind of funny though.
Oh, I mean, it was great for the plot.
Yeah.
Always great for the plot. But I was just like, Heather, you are no better than Erica right now. Actually, she's like way worse because she's going out with her sister's like date.
Yeah.
And I just love when they like, you hear them drive away, and Erica's like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, no way.
Yeah, because even though Heather stops it, she does kiss him for like a second,
Yeah.
I mean,
Making her more annoying in my book.
I guess it's for the best that Erica finds out that the guy she's interested in is only interested in, making out or whatever, and is fine with cheating and such. But I mean, still shitty of Heather to be the person that she finds that out from.
Right? So stupid.
This episode is basically a microcosm of every twin plot in the show.
Yeah, I think it would have been more of a twin plot if Heather pretended to be Erica.
Well, check in next season.
I will.
So, yeah, definitely interesting because, again, Erica and Heather are the only identical twins in all of Degrassi. So it is interesting how they're different from who else are the twins? You have Declan and Fiona, who are barely siblings.
They like make out, so
Yeah. And
eh.
then you have Frankie and Hunter. Frankie and Hunter are actually a good twin dynamic, but it is interesting to have the identical aspect or even the same gender aspect, even
Yeah.
if they're not identical.
Yeah, I feel like, well, they're our first identical twins, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I think that this is a cool thing to do, though. Other than them making out with the same guy.
Yeah.
Don't know how often that really happens for twins, but I hope it's not that often.
I feel like there's always like those viral social media posts where it's like, oh, my twin took my spot and my husband slept with my twin and he didn't know. Is he at fault?
Jesus. Yeah, no, I'm gonna have to give him that one. He is not.
Yeah, I feel like there's always like those silly Facebook posts.
Right.
But yeah, I like Erica and Heather's dynamic. I do think, having seen the whole thing, it is like a little tired that it's kind of the same issue over and over again.
That they're just twins, that's their issue.
Yeah, they're twins. Erica is the easy one, Heather is the fruit one. That's kind of the moral of their entire arc.
True. Am I wrong that one of them gets pregnant? Okay, cut it out that I even said that then, if you're gonna just give me a face. My bad. I probably could guess who it is.
Yeah, you probably could.
All right, we'll save that for when it comes up.
Yes.
That's funny. All
Okay.
right, so our last girly.
And the last time we get to hang out with her.
Before she goes away to private school. All
Yes, Stephanie K.
right, let's do it.
So, after reflecting at the end of last season about how she's a shitty president and a shitty friend and such, Stephanie decides at the beginning of this season to get rid of all of her sexy clothes, saying like, oh, I don't need them anymore, blah, 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 blah. And Alexa comes along saying like, oh my God, these are so cute. Can I keep some of them? So Stephanie happily gives them away to Alexa. But when new kid and, child model, I forget, was he like a in a commercial or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Simon comes to join Degrassi. They all recognize him from like a commercial or something. He is apparently the hottest guy any of them have ever seen, and Stephanie is immediately interested, as is everybody else. So Stephanie ends up getting jealous when Alexa, wearing Stephanie's old sexy clothes, starts flirting with Simon, and they end up making movie plans. So Stephanie storms up to Alexa saying, give me my clothes back. Like, being completely transparent as to why she wants them back. But Alexa's like, you gave them to me. Like, they're mine now. You can't have them. And that's kind of how the first episode ends. And soon after that, Stephanie is still trying to get her clothes back. And Alexa does give them back because her mom caught her with them and is like, you're not wearing these clothes. Get rid of them. So Stephanie gets her clothes back. She wears them to school the next day to impress Simon, but Simon is busy flirting with Alexa, so it doesn't work. And that's how that episode ends. Once again, in the next episode, Stephanie again tries to impress Simon, and she even asks him out, but the icon himself, Alex, the school treasurer, keeps interrupting her every time she tries to talk to Simon. So she's not able to actually get a word in with him because Alex is interrupting. So that was what, try number three. And then in try number four, she asks him out, even though at this point Simon and Alexa are officially dating. And this time Arthur is the one who gets in the way. So Stephanie gets pissed at Arthur, even though Arthur's like, Steph, I gotta tell you something. And on the walk home from school, Arthur ends up telling Stephanie that their dad is trying to get custody of both of them against their mom. And both of them express that they like the situation that they're both in right now, where Stephanie is at their mom's place and Arthur is at their dad's place. So that's kind of a short little interlude there that will be important in a minute. But back to Simon, she finally manages to get Simon on board to quote unquote help organize the next dance. But when they meet up to talk about the dance, he ends up bringing Alexa along to help. So Stephanie's like, oh, I have things to do, bye, and completely flakes. She ends up finally confessing her feelings to Simon, but he says that he is officially with Alexa. So, like, he's flattered, but I'm dating someone else. So Stephanie, at the end of this episode, says that her life is completely falling apart. Okay. And finally, Stephanie is having dreams about standing on one of the bridges in town above a train, very dark and such. She has been very moody lately around at home, having a hard time getting up for school. She's being very catty. She's kind of out of touch with her friends. And throughout this entire episode, she keeps saying, like, oh, maybe I should just kill myself. So Mr. Radich ends up noticing Stephanie's mood. He holds her back after class to see if anything is wrong, but she kind of blows him off. After school, Stephanie's mom ends up announcing that she is getting married to her 2-month boyfriend, and that in the midst of all of this custody things with their dad, she wants Arthur to move in with her so that they can all be a happy family once she gets married. But Stephanie doesn't really like the boyfriend very much, so Stephanie's kind of being a little catty about this, and Arthur is upset about this because he likes living with their dad. So the next day, Stephanie ends up skipping school to walk by the bridge that she's been having dreams about, and she ends up at the local park. Arthur, having gotten kicked out of school for the day for having filled the dog with him, runs into her at the park, and Stephanie is once again mean to him, saying that her problems are more important than his problems. So later at family dinner, Stephanie starts a fight with her mom about her mom being selfish, not really caring about her problems. And at the same time, Arthur is frustrated that everybody is making decisions for him without his input. So Arthur kind of runs off out of dinner, and Stephanie ends up going to find him. She ends up apologizing for him for not considering his feelings and only thinking about herself. And both Stephanie and Arthur wish that their parents weren't so awful to each other. That's really it for Stephanie. She does have a small thing in the season finale where the grade sevens are annoyed about having to set up the graduation dance for the eighth graders, which is the usual tradition. But when the grade sevens find out that Degrassi is going to be a ninth grade school the next year, they're like, oh, why do we need to do this? So they revolt and put the dance organizing work back onto Stephanie. But Stephanie ends up getting the grade sevens to set the dance up by allowing them to attend the dance after they set it up. And with this whole grade nine high school, middle school thing going on, Stephanie ends up saying that she would rather go to an actual high school than stay at Degrassi, which ends up happening because she transfers to private school in season three.
Foreshadowing, perhaps? Who knows? Honestly, they probably didn't plan on her leaving, honest, just because she's such a main character, but it happens.
Well, the thing is, Stephanie felt much less of a main character this season.
Oh yeah, for sure. First season, she absolutely was the main character.
Yes.
This, Joey wasn't pining over her as much, so I think that also shows that she's not that important anymore.
Yeah, well, the thing about Stephanie this season is that, like I said, she spends basically 5 episodes pursuing Simon, even though Simon rejects her, like, you know, each time. So it's like, Stephanie, what are you doing? Find something else to focus your time on.
That's the thing. I think she, based on last season where all these boys were like begging to kiss her and she was so popular and well-liked and like all this stuff, I think she just felt like, oh, I can also have this, which was this boy. And even though he didn't like her at all, she like could not deal with why he didn't like her.
Yeah. It's kind of disappointing because she started the season like, oh, I'm going to be a better person than I was last season. But then as soon as the one cute boy comes around, she just throws it all in the trash.
Yeah, and she had already thrown all of her clothes away too, so now she's begging for those back.
Yeah, that was kind of funny though.
I love that. I love that Alexa said no. I think that's even funnier.
Yes.
Because she easily could have been like, yeah, I guess since they were yours, you can have them back. She's like, hell no. These are mine. Go get your own. That was so funny. Even though she does end up giving them back, but whatever.
Well, she doesn't willingly give them back.
No, she does not. But I'm trying to think, weren't the twins kind of pushing Stephanie to do it too?
To flirt with Simon?
I'm trying to remember their interactions with her. Because I feel like part of I'm trying to think if they were like, Stephanie, chill, he's with Alexa. Or if they were like, oh yeah, he definitely likes you, like keep going.
Well, I feel like at one point, like I guess the main problem was that Simon and Alexa's official relationship status was unclear.
Yeah.
So they were like, yeah, we think Simon's with Alexa, but we're not positive. So I guess there's no harm in trying.
Okay, that sounds about right. I thought it was really funny that she tried to have that meeting for the dance.
Yeah.
And then he brought Alexa with him.
She's like, bye.
That was so funny because it was just so perfect for... She's just so delusional up until this point that he is interested in Alexa. And he's literally like, yeah, she's coming too.
Right?
That was so funny.
Like, I just don't know why Stephanie thought Simon liked her. Like, he never gave her any vibes.
No, I think it's just because she kept trapping him to talk to her. And then he, like, would. Because he's, it seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. He is the original Degrassi himbo.
Who are the other ones? Blue?
Spinner. Blue. I would say Spinner, Drew, and Zig are the big ones.
Okay. That's a good comparison. Except, I don't know if Simon's dumb.
I think he's kind of dumb. But yeah. I don't know if there was anything this season that showed that he's dumb.
But I do love, I mean, spoiler alert, him and Alexa get married.
Yeah.
So Stephanie trying to get in the way almost ruined a potential marriage.
Like, I don't think I've ever heard of middle school sweethearts.
That's so cute. I know. People were like, oh my God, I met my high school sweetheart or my husband when we were in like fifth grade and we were in the same class. I'm like, please, you didn't talk to each other. You don't remember that.
Yeah.
No way. But they did it. So I love that for them.
Yes. Well, I guess with respect to Simon being dumb, I guess he did not pick up that Stephanie was flirting with him at all.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I don't want to assume he's dumb because I have no idea how he does in school. And we do know for a fact that Spinner, Drew, and Zig struggled.
Each of them either failed. Yeah, Drew and Spinner had to repeat a grade, and Zig almost didn't graduate, so...
I was gonna say, Zig definitely came close. If they were gonna do another season, I bet they would have figured something out for Zig to come back.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'd kind of want to go into Stephanie and her whole wanting to die thing.
Yeah, it was weird to me.
It was weird because for a bit, I was like, oh, this is going to be... a suicide awareness type of episode, and there will be people who are going to support her, and she's obviously going through something. And by the end of it, I was like, I'm over this bitch, and I 100% was on Arthur's side. It's so hard because you want to be like, I feel bad for her, but in all honesty, the things that she's upset about, like Simon, she did that to herself. 100%. Like, she did not get rejected by Simon and then want to die. She got rejected by Simon 7 times and then was like, that's disappointing, when she finally heard him.
Yeah.
So, fine, whatever. She's sad about that. And then she already lives with her mom full time. And it sounds like her dad is the miserable one. So, she's not even on that short end of that stick.
Yeah, I guess at the beginning of the episode, her mom isn't awful. So her mom isn't, at this point, at the beginning of the episode, her mom isn't contributing to her quote-unquote depression.
Yeah, so I think there was kind of some confusion on my side of, like, what is she... I mean, I know you don't have to be upset about something, but for them to have this plot, like, what was it?
Yeah, like, I guess I could see the fact that she was on top of the world at the very beginning of the show. And she's kind of had a fall from grace. Like, she was super popular. Now kind of her only friends are Erica and Heather.
Yeah.
So I could kind of see that aspect. And the fact that at the end of last season, she kind of recognized that she's a bad person. And then she, like she maybe tried to better herself for 5 seconds. But then just reverted back to season one Stephanie. So I can maybe see in some ways that, like, her mental state isn't the best because of all those things. But it did kind of seem like it came out of nowhere, where she's, like, dreaming about, the implication was, you know, jumping off of that bridge, you know?
Yeah.
And saying, I want to kill myself every 5 seconds throughout this episode.
Yeah, there was a. It was really hard to have sympathy, not gonna lie. Like at first you're like, oh no, but then you're like, wait a second, she's also not helping herself at all.
Yeah, like I'm curious that if Stephanie had stayed, if they would have continued this, because as it is, it's just kind of like they're trying to approach depression and suicide, but not really explicitly saying anything about it. And then the episode ends up being about family issues at the end of it also. So it just
Yeah.
kind of seemed like a hodgepodge of several different ideas that they were trying to do, and none of them really worked.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it almost made it seem like this episode was for Arthur anyway, and not even her. Like it kind of led to Arthur being the one to stand up to her because all she kept saying was like, you don't understand. You're not experiencing the same thing I am, even though he literally is, and he's actually has the worst side of it, it sounds like. I don't know. I'm never one to be like, that's ridiculous. You're not going to kill yourself. But I think in this one, it's okay to say that because it was just so out of left field to even try to do this plot. And then it sounds like she went away at the end when Arthur was like, you're the worst, actually. And she was like, okay, yeah, fair.
Yeah, because they were kind of trying to make it seem like she was seriously contemplating it, you know, with the she can't get out of bed in the morning and she is pushing her friends away. And then Mr. Radich takes her to the side to ask her what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
So it seemed like they wanted us to take this all seriously, but they didn't really give us enough of a build up to this being her mental state, and especially there being no follow-up afterwards. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, like how seriously do they want us to take this? I agree. I think that if maybe there was a little bit more of like a background or backstory or whatever, but there was not.
Yeah, because like with the whole family thing, I completely understood why both Arthur and Stephanie were pissed at their mom once she announces, yeah, I've been dating this guy for 2 months. We're gonna get married and be a happy family. It's like, what?
Yes, that I absolutely can get behind. And it was basically either the same day or the same week where she was under the impression that her dad was trying to get custody too.
Right.
The mom getting married impacts the whole custody issue where she already had just found out that she has to go live with her dad probably at some point. And now her mom's getting married to this guy. So that's probably going to throw all that custody stuff in the air. And I can see where that could be bad.
Well, because what I was thinking was Stephanie's mom is trying to get married to like say to the custody lawyers, look, I have a stable marriage and that's a better situation for the kids.
Oh, I think that it kind of looks the other. It doesn't look as good that you're trying to start a new family and like with a guy you just met 2 months ago. Kind of shows that you're spontaneous and like not taking your life seriously, in my opinion.
Well, yes, that's how it actually is, but I could see in the mom state of mind that she's like, oh, if I have a husband and, you know, like a stable home, I could tell the lawyers that like it's better for the kids to be in a two-parent household.
Do you think she cares about her kids enough?
She cares about them in the sense that she feels entitled to them.
But she also didn't even tell them she was dating someone.
Well, I think Stephanie knew she was dating this guy.
Well, she doesn't know the fact that they're getting married. I don't think that her mom is that nice. I don't think that the mom is thinking in that sense at all. I think the mom is being selfish and getting married to a man she doesn't know and is bringing into a home with children.
100%.
So I don't think she's thinking like custody wise, this is beneficial. I think she's being selfish.
I think both things could be true. Because the thing is,
Is
Arthur.
there any hints at all that this is why she's getting married?
No, but like I'm just trying to analyze.
Yeah, no, I don't think Degrassi writers did that. I think they just wanted to show that the mom is not a good person to live with.
Yeah, because the thing, especially with Arthur, well, for one thing, Stephanie doesn't like this guy and she does not keep it a secret. And
Yeah.
then this family dinner with the guy where she's already engaged is the dinner where Arthur meets him for the first time.
Yes.
You know, so it's the fact that one of your children has not even met this guy and you're saying this is going to be your stepdad. Like, that is psycho behavior to me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's no way that it was for the betterment of both of her children.
Well, no, I'm not saying the custody thing was for the betterment of the children. I'm saying she feels entitled to the custody of her children, and the way that she can make that happen is by getting married.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just think based on my knowledge of divorce, that's like the way wrong thing to do.
Well, she clearly does not know how to be a good parent, so.
Oh yeah, no, obviously they don't know how to be good parents. Look at these poor children are living in two different homes. I don't even think that's allowed.
I think that is not uncommon.
I think you have to have kind of some sort of shared custody for like a pretty decent amount of time when the kids are young.
Well, they do have shared custody. It's not like Arthur never sees the mom and Stephanie never sees the dad.
I'm pretty sure Stephanie said she does not see her father and she does not want to live with, like, she does not go and see the father at all. Like, I think Arthur goes back and forth, but I don't think Stephanie goes anywhere. From
Yeah,
what it sounded
I don't
like.
know about Stephanie, but Arthur is definitely like, oh, mom is on the weekends.
Yeah. It just seems like this whole thing is messed up, basically. But I don't think that's why Stephanie is feeling all these sad things. I think she just got rejected by a boy and didn't know what to do.
Yeah, I think the custody thing can maybe be a small part of it because we did find out about that a couple episodes before this whole depression thing.
Yeah. But it seems
But
like it's more impactful on Arthur's side anyway.
yeah, because Arthur is the one who is apparently going to need to move to the mom's place.
Yeah, so it's all just a mess,
Yeah.
basically. I think we spent way too time much time on that. That literally does not matter at all because Stephanie is never in the show again.
Well, which is so disappointing because she was the main character of season one. Even though most of her plots in season two were about Simon, she was still like notable. It's not like she disappeared.
No, but I think that they're kind of doing what they did to like Allie. Where Allie was a pretty big character for a while, and then they slowly just kind of phased her down to like an appearing character. But I think they did that in like two seasons for Stephanie. And then we know that her actress wanted to go to school. Like she just wanted to have a normal life, basically. So she kind of left. Like it wasn't a Degrassi booting her off the show kind of thing, which also makes me wonder if they knew that she was going to leave. Like I know I said earlier that they didn't know, but I don't actually know if they knew.
Well, given this whole depression plot line and how it doesn't go anywhere, I would be surprised if they knew.
Yeah.
At least when doing this episode. I could maybe see, like I said, the line in the last episode where Stephanie is like, I'd rather go to a real high school than Degrassi. I could see maybe they knew at that point that
Yeah.
Stephanie wasn't coming back, so they were trying to preempt that. But I don't think in this depression episode that they knew that Stephanie was going to be leaving.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about her at all with the grade sevens or?
I mean it's more of Stephanie not respecting anybody and showing that she hasn't actually grown at all.
Yeah, for a girl who said she wanted to change and didn't happen this season at all.
Yeah, no.
And I really thought that it would. I mean, that whole montage at the end of season one really got you feeling like
Right?
there's a change coming.
Like, I had hope for her.
Did not happen.
No. Now she's just in the black hole with Vula, which I guess they could go be lovers together.
Stephanie has yet to change.
Very sad. And that's it. That's all we got for her.
Gonna say, I got nothing else. We dragged that out.
So let's see. This is our second of three season two episodes. So we're going to have our season finale next time, where we're going to talk about the icons themselves, the Zit Remedy, as well
Woo!
as Lucy and Susie.
Sounds good. Pretty pumped.
Yes. So thank you for listening.
And we'll see you soon.